You're listening to audio from Destiny Church. If you would like to check more resources or donate to this ministry, you can download the Destiny Church PH official app or log on to www.destinychurch.ph/give.
Anyway, now let me reintroduce myself. Now, my name is Kai and I'm one of the pastors of Destiny Church, and it's a privilege to be the one to share the word to you this morning. Now, before we proceed, now let me just ask, is there anyone here, you're here for the first time? Do we have first-time guests in the house? Can you raise your hands just quickly so that we can acknowledge you? Meron ba? Ayun. So, hi, hello. We are so glad to have you. Really, you know, our hope is that every one of us, now whether you're here for the first time, no, si Kuya, and really for everyone, is that we will get to know the Lord better. That we will get to love Him more this morning as we talk about the Word, as we worship later. Now, maybe you're asking, now, why do we call ourselves Destiny? Sabi nyo nga, Destiny. I always love this part, no, reminding everyone, no, yung reason. Well, we call ourselves Destiny because we really believe in that word. We believe that no one here is an accident. You might feel like an accident. You might have been in a series of failures recently. Daming pagkakamali sa buhay, daming problema. But it doesn't make you a mistake. It doesn't make you a problem. It doesn't make you a failure. Right? No, your past, you know, we sometimes allow ourselves to be defined by our pasts. Right? But, you know, sabi sa Bible, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says here, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Sabi nyo nga, hope. Right? You know, sabi ng Lord na even in the midst of all that's happening to every one of us, some of those things may be unexplainable, hindi mo maintindihan. It's difficult, it's painful. But God is saying here that I have a plan for your life. It's a plan to give us a hope and a future. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about this morning. So before we go to the Word, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this morning that you've given to us to gather here and to once again be washed by your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for all the joys and the victories and even the celebrations that we probably had the past few days that we're going to have this week. Lord, I pray na you would change us this morning, that this would be a powerful encounter with you. Lord, we don't want to just go out of this cinema inspired, happy, but we want to go out changed, redeemed. Father, we love you and we surrender everything to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Can we give a clap to the Lord? All right. You know, it's indeed the most wonderful time of the year. Tama ba? You know, I don't know kung nabanggit to nila Pastor Carl. We usually use this as an introduction for sermons like this. No, I love this season. Now, how many of you, ito yung paborito nyong season out of all the seasons in the year? Right? Anyone? Well, siguro kayo yung mga February people, no? Like, you love the season of love. Ako, I love this Christmas season. Around November, right? No, December. You know, when it starts to become colder, right? Nang sarap nun eh. Tapos, yung mga estudyante, natatapos na yung class nila, so wala na masyadong traffic, right? You can drive around better. And you know, people just generally are kinder. How many of you would agree? Parang people, you know, people would give you gifts, you know, really ask for it. And tayo, no, we become more generous kahit medyo masakit na sa bulsa. There's something about this season na I really love and I hope you do too. Right? And You know, one of the things that we also call Christmas is Advent. Sabi niyo Advent. We don't usually use that term na. You know, from time to time, sinasabi natin. But you know, how many of you know the meaning of Advent? Right? Meron tayong tinatawag, no? Yung Advent wreath, no? May mga candles, no? If you went to a Catholic school, ako, no, I went to a Catholic school and nakikita ko yung parate, no? Sinisindihan namin. I'm not sure, no? Every week ba yun or every day, no? But the meaning of Advent is very beautiful. No? Let me give you the meaning. Advent, it means it's the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. There is an advent, and that's what we are celebrating. It's the arrival of the most notable person in history. It's, of course, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Right? And we need to be, in a way, a little bit careful when it comes to this season, no? Because, you know, I noticed that there are two types of Christmas celebrations that we have. Well, first up is the cultural Christmas. Now, cultural Christmas, and we have what we call the Christian Christmas. And let me differentiate. Now, what's the difference? Ano ba yung cultural Christmas? Right? Usually, no, it's this time wherein the marketers, yung mga commercials natin, napapansin nyo, nag-iiba, no? Nag-iiba yung messaging, iba na yung... Well, because there is that, kumbaga nakikiride itong mga commercial, no, businesses in this season, right? So, you know, just recently, I was talking to some very, some kids, and I was having some insightful conversation, and then, you know, I realized na marami na palang characters, no, sa Christmas story na wala talaga doon. Like, I was thinking, kailan pa nagka-elf? Cute, right? It's cute. Pero you see all these things, additions, right, to the Christmas narrative that might be cute, but it's not really, kumbaga, no, part of the core of what's in the Bible. But it's good. No, we're not against it. Pero this is what we would call the cultural Christmas. Like, you know, the companies would want you to spend stuff, right? But there is what we would call the Christian Christmas. That we, you know, when we celebrate really the reason for the season, sabi nga nila, no, cliche, right? And when we talk about Christmas, you know, one of the things na really comes to mind is the word hope. Sabi nyo nga hope. How many of you, yun din yung kumbaga yung top of mind na naisip nyo, no? Pag-asa, hope. You know, talking about hope, now let me jump to the word grace. You know, as I study and consider the word of God, you know, a few days preparing for this message and your Christmas narrative, now one of the things that really blows my mind and in a lot of ways disarms me is yung word na grace. Right? Grace. It's undeserved merit. It's something that you did not earn. It's a gift. Right? Grace. That's a word that makes me want to weep. Every time I hear that word, I'm not sure if you agree with me, no? Like, sabi, grace, parang naiiyak ako agad, eh. Right? When you understand the depth and how it gives us hope. You know, if let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 14. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me there. Sabi dito, no, listen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Sino sa inyo familiar kayo doon? It's a response, right? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Kindly highlight that word, grace, every time we read that word. Verse 15, John bore witness about Him and cried out that this was He whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me because He was before me. Verse 16, for from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Now let me stop there. How many grace have you read in those verses? Right? 4, 5, what? No, 3? So basically, no, if you're gonna follow the verse that we just read, John was speaking about grace and he was in a way gushing about grace. Have you ever gushed? Yung parang yun lang yung lumalabas sa bibig mo. Like John was so excited about this idea of grace that he kept on writing about it. And then sabi doon, no, yung, which I think is very beautiful, sabi doon, we have all received what? Grace upon grace upon grace. John was a big grace person. He loves grace. He understands grace. Right? Jesus didn't just come with the truth. You know, sabi dun sa verse that through Jesus came truth and grace. No, did you guys notice that? Do you know what that means? You know, when Jesus came, let me explain a little bit, no. When Jesus came, alam natin yung Ten Commandments. Ano yung Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. You shall love the Lord. You shall have only one God. Right? Parang hindi pwede idolatry. Right? So, Ten Commandments. And the Jews during that time, they want to follow the kaya ang dami nilang rules. 613 rules. Tapos ang dami pang inad na kung ano-ano. So you can imagine the Jews during this time, no, ang dami nilang fina-follow na rules. But then Jesus came, alam mo kung ano yung sinabi ng Lord in Matthew chapter 5, and then Matthew chapter 6 until Matthew chapter 7. Ano yung sabi ng Lord? It is said, right, that you shall not commit adultery. Right? Sabi ng Lord, but when you think lustfully about women, you've already committed adultery. Right? So si Lord, inangat niya yung standard of righteousness. Hindi niya binaba, inangat niya ng todo, todo, todo. Right? In fact, sabi ng Lord, if you're angry with your brother, you've already committed murder. Jesus, what are you doing? Jesus came with the truth. That sin is not only external, it's in the heart. But thankfully, Jesus didn't just come with the truth, he came with grace. Right? Grace, truth and grace. That's why John was gushing. He was so excited about grace. Because there's one thing that would give us hope. It's grace. It's grace. Right? Now, I want us to look at a story that I'm sure familiar to everyone in Luke chapter 2. If you can turn your Bibles there. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20. The title of this verse, no, yung heading niya is The Shepherd and the Angels. I love this story. In verse 8, no, let me read. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Now put yourself in the story, no. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom with whom he is pleased." Verse 15, when the angels went away from into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Amazing story. Would you agree? Amazing story, and we're all familiar with this. But really, I pray that we will see this story with fresh eyes. Now, let me give you 2 points that we can get from this story. First point, Jesus came to be a friend of sinners. Right? He came to be a friend of sinners. So let me say this right off the bat, no? If you were following me in the story, kanino unang nagpakita? Of course, aside from Mary and Joseph, kanino unang na-announce ang good news of the birth of our Savior? Shepherds. Right? Shepherds. And we're gonna talk more about the shepherds, no? Who are these people? But let me say this, that there is something terribly wrong with this picture. Right? See, what we see in this story is a type of reorientation. Right? It's a sudden shift in the way that the kingdom of God would come. In the coming of Christ, we see an upside down kingdom. The economy of God is radically different. Right? See, let me ask you this question. If say, you're a company, you're a product manager, right? Meron kang produkto or servisyo na gusto i-serve sa, no, sa publiko. Tapos meron kang product launch. Now, I want to just think about this, no? Sino yung i-invite mo? Right? Kasi gusto mo ng media coverage, gusto mo ng publicity, gusto mo ng press release. Sino yung mga i-invite mo? Media, right? I would say, you know, if I have a product or service, I would probably invite a blogger. Alam niyo yung mga blogger ngayon, mga influencers, maraming followers sa Instagram, social media, Facebook, Twitter. Tama ba? You would probably do that. A-listers, celebrities, showbiz, you know, Papa P, right? I-invite mo si Piolo, right? Appearance pa lang nun, may degenerate ka na siguro ng revenue, right? Ng sales. Because you want to create publicity. But that's how we would think. See, in this story, we see that it was not the elite that God came to invite. No, it was not the superior people, the righteous people, that God announced this good news. It was the shepherds. Right? No, it means that the kingdom of God doesn't go to those who are morally upright. Listen, it goes to the broken, it goes to the hopeless, it goes to the helpless, it goes to those who are ashamed, it goes to those who are bitter. Right? See, Christmas, whatever images that the media has told you, it's really for the weak. Don't you agree? It's for those who are unhappy, depressed. Are you that person? Christmas is for you. Right? The announcement of the greatest hope of the universe is made not to those who are at the top of the food chain, but those who are at the lowest, to shepherds. Why were the shepherds there? Who are the shepherds? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I mean, alam lang natin, cute sila eh, di ba? alam mo yung mga matatabang sheep eh. Alam mo yun eh. Tapos yung sa mga play, yung mga bata, we dress them up as angels, as shepherd, right? I've seen a lot of those pictures, right? Videos. Ang cute. Or do you really understand? Right? Now let me read, no? You know, these were a people who are into a very lowly profession. Insignificant, irrelevant. So during this time, sa culture natin ngayon, we wouldn't really understand yung bigat of being a shepherd. But during that time, I want you to understand na it's a different culture. Iba yung sistema ng patakbo nun. Let me read something from some context so that we can better appreciate. No? Beyond the fact that they would be the lowest people on the social ladder, this came from John MacArthur, by virtue of the necessity of caring for sheep 7 days a week. Now, if you're working for 7 days a week, let me ask you this question. What 10 commandment are you violating? You shall keep the 7 day holy. Sabbath day. Now, if you are, during that time, if you are violating, right, the constitution of that time, the Ten Commandments, what are you called? A sinner. Out of the 613 laws, there were what we would call purity laws. If you are holding sheep, clean, wow, good. If you are holding yung dumi ng sheep, what would that make you? Impure. Unclean. And that was happening in the Old Testament times. Now, fast forward, dagdag ng rules. As the rules were piling up, lalong mas bumababa yung tingin sa mga shepherds because they were unable to keep these laws. The more laws, mas mababa yung tingin sa kanila. Right? No, in fact, if you're gonna look at Jewish literature, yung mga shepherd, they were considered thieves. That was their press release. Yun yung reputation nila. Right? They were thieves. They were social outcasts. They were really the lowest of the low. Right? Now, as time developed from the time of the New Testament on, as the fastidious legalism of the Pharisees began to capture more and more of the hearts of the people, shepherds began to be more and more despised. These were not special people. These were unclean outcasts of that day. Have you ever been in that position? Ever been in a position wherein you were ashamed of yourself? Nothing to be proud of. You feel unclean. There was a lot of guilt and shame that you're dealing with. See, the thing about guilt and shame, no? You don't really broadcast it, eh. It's just in here. Ever felt the weight of carrying those things? God chooses not to come to the elite, the morally upright, but He came to morally broken and helpless people. And that's what we see in the ministry of our Lord. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, familiar kayo sa Beatitudes. You know, we see in the Beatitudes a reversing, right? A reversal of fortunes. Anong sabi ng Lord doon? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Right? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Why is a mourning person? Bakit ang isang tao nag-grieve? Bakit siya blessed? Because we don't really call those people blessed. Tama ba? Would you agree? Blessed are the meek, no? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful. We live in a culture, right? No, in an age wherein you show mercy, you are weak. Blessed are the pure in heart. Right? These are the people that Jesus came for. You know, I told my life group kahapon ito, no, we had a celebration of sorts. Then I told them na, and you know, listen to this. If you came to the Lord to be happy, you will not be happy. And let me explain that. But if you came to the Lord to be saved, that's a different thing. You know, I was thinking a few years back, and maybe I've shared this. I did an altar call, so I preached sa may UPFI. Na alam niyo altar call, di ba? People come in front. Sometimes we do that, and then we try to shake their the hands of the people who are coming. And then as I was about to shake someone's hand, here's the funny thing. Tumili. I was like, what? You want to be happy? But here's the thing. If you come to the Lord to be saved, if you are broken, if you are guilty, if you're an outcast, if you are a sinner, come. This is for you. If you've tried everything and there's no answer, if you've tried relationships, if you've tried money, if you've tried working almost 24 hours, 7 days a week, and it's still empty for you, come to the Lord. Comes with it happiness. But if you look for happiness' sake, you will not get it. See, we need to be saved. See, the problem is that we don't really see our need to be saved. Tama ba? We try to pass it off. Now, let me give you a number of phrases that are, I think, helpful for us to analyze. Ano ba to? Right? Sino sa inyo nasabi niyo na tong mga phrases na to or a variant of this phrase? Quote, unquote, I think you misunderstood me. I wasn't angry. Just emphasizing an important point. Have you been there? It wasn't lust. I'm just a man who enjoys beauty. I wasn't just feeling well after being angry. I wasn't just feeling well. I just have a strong personality. No harm, no foul. It wasn't a lie. It's just another way of looking at things. Sometimes you have to choose the better of two evils. Have you ever been there? I was planning on giving it back. Kaso, you know. I was planning on paying. It wasn't gossip. I was just asking them to pray. I'm not proud. Just exercising God-given leadership gifts. I had to defend myself. See, the problem with these statements, and you know, this came from a book by Paul Tripp, New Morning Mercies. This is very helpful because this is the type of language that we use to actually convince ourselves that we are not, that we don't need any saving. Right? Have you ever been there? Have you said these things? Try to mask things. Right? The list could go on and on. We're also good at doing it. We are also skilled at convincing ourselves that our sin is less than sin and that we are more righteous than we actually are. Let me share to you a very recent story. And let me know if you can relate. Shout an amen. This is very recent lang to, no? And very personal din. Pero shinare ko na rin to sa mga ibang brothers. And so, for the past 2 months, almost 2 months, I've been in Davao for work. And from time to time, I would fly in during the weekends. And as you know, that would mean na medyo malayo ako dito sa church, right? And there are a lot of things that I enjoy doing in the church. One of them is preaching. One of them is ministering to people. And I think for some time now, have you ever felt empty? Because during that time in Davao, I was thinking about a lot of things. And no one needs me there. Like, I'm not really needed there. I go there Monday to Friday. I work. And it's a very good work. The company, as obviously I became fatter, makes us eat a lot of things. Tuna every meal. Then there's a certain kind of emptiness that I was feeling every night. Then I was thinking, saan ang kagaling to? Hindi ko siya ma-define. Alam mo yung problema na hindi mo ma-define? Bakit ganito yung nararamdaman ko? There's that nagging feeling of emptiness every night. I'm thinking, saan to galing? Right? Tapos naiiyak ako, tapos sinasabi ko na lang, it's gonna be better tomorrow. You know what? Di ba minsan ganon? Your mercies are new every morning, ganon. But then, it didn't go away. So I was reading my Bible, I was praying. I realized that part of my self-worth or my evaluation of myself is what I do. And I felt kind of worthless being there, not being needed. Then, there was this one night, just 2 weeks ago, I was reading na nasa hotel. No, every night na doon kami nakatira sa hotel. Tapos I just came to the point na I had to admit, Lord, I'm empty. Na I had to just tell the Lord na I'm so empty right now. Then after that, punta ako sa Bible, no? Basa-basa, Isaiah 49. And then there's that verse there. I think it was chapter 49, verse 15. And amazing. This is just, it's not even part of the outline. But sabi doon, can a woman forget her nursing child? That she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. And when I read that, I was crying so hard. Right? And the reason why I'm sharing that is because God really comes for those who come to the point of admission that I am weak. If there is still a swagger in you that you're strong, even when you're not, drop it. This is what Christmas is for. Christmas is for the broken, the helpless. It's not for the strong. It's not for the strong. Right? God comes only to those who sense their need. He does not come to the self-sufficient. The gospel is for those who know that they need Jesus. Right? Sabi sa 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." Right? So we need to marvel at this, that Christ comes as a friend of sinners. Right? Right? And as Christians, if you do understand that, what should be an application for us is that we should never be building walls for people that are lost. Not outside the church, not inside the church. If you have been touched with the grace of God, there should never be a time that you are building walls. Right? No, as light to the world, no, as salt and light to this world, no, we don't build walls. We don't consider ourselves better than anyone. Tama ba? Have you ever been there? Na sinasabi niyo, I mean, there were times that, you know, hey, I'm better than that person. Right? If you are a Christian, you should also be the friend of sinners. Right? Where do I get that friend of sinners? In Luke chapter 5, verse 27. This is the calling of Matthew. No, sabi doon. "After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi," or Matthew, "sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' And Jesus answered them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Right? And in verse 13, sa binasa natin sa Luke chapter 2, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased.'" Now, how many of you can just try to imagine that scene for a moment? So say you are a shepherd, you're just hanging out, you're with your sheep, right? And yung barkada mo, let's say ako si Patrick, si Jomar nandun, si Yubal, si Yob, no, kwentuhan. I mean, I can just imagine kung ano-ano siguro yung pinag-uusapan nila. No? These are sinners. These are people who are lost. Ano dyan? Anong, sino yung ninakawan mo? Ganun. Now, can you imagine the filthy? Like sometimes we do that. I mean, if you go to, like, no, kwentuhan ng mga lalaki, no, you will not really, not in church, ha? But if you know what I'm talking about, right? And then all of a sudden, biglang bam, angel, right? Parang glory to God in the highest. And you know, sabi dito, and with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts. We're not talking about one additional angel, right? We're talking about a heavenly host that you cannot even count. Now, sino sa inyo you would say na, oh my God, kung nandun lang ako? Parang ganda nung eksena eh, no? Pero here's the thing, we got the good part of the deal. God did not save angels. God saved us. We got the good part of that deal. Even when we are not there, tayo yung sinagip. Right. Second point, and we call the worship team. He came to give us peace. Yun yung peace. Verse 14. Again, no, let me read. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. Before I delve deeper sa peace, can you imagine that? Again, no, put yourself in the shoes of the shepherd. So you're hanging out, and then there's a heavenly host of angels. Sabi doon, peace with those with whom He is pleased. Pleased saan? Sa akin. See, that's the gospel. That's grace for you. See, imagine this, no? You know, in another account, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Now, listen to this. This is beautiful. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Parenthesis, which means God with us. Can you imagine that? What if God told us to meet Him where He is? Will we be able to meet Him where He is? We would all be condemned. We cannot meet Him where He is. But thankfully, we have a God who came down for us, who is with us. See, that's what religion is as compared to a relationship. Religion is trying to earn, trying to meet God where He is. And that's why when we sin, you know what happens? We try to earn back what we cannot earn. So we tire ourselves out. Pagod ka na. Maybe some of you, that's your story here. Pagod ka na. But then, sabi dito, they shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The good news of the gospel is that we did not go up, God came down. And sabi niya doon, balik tayo sa shepherds. And peace with whom He is pleased. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulders. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Listen, Prince of Peace. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, sabi doon, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. What does that mean? Lahat daw tayo, we've all sinned. We are, in another verse, we are all without hope. Right? Lost, forsaken. And how many of you can remember those times when you were lost? You did not know God. Everyone has sinned. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, what makes it worse is this, for the wages of sin is death. See, that's, you know what, yung sabi ko kanina na Jesus increased the standard of righteousness. He made it all about the heart. Not just about external righteousness. See, because you can be good. You can be, you know, you can wear the fake stuff. You can look cool and righteous on the outside. Pero ang sinasabi ng Bible, that sin is on the inside. Right? And that's the problem with that, no? With that definition of sin. Sin is not a situation. It's not that your boss makes you sin. It's because we have a sinful heart. Right? No, nilalabas niya kung ano yung nandun na. So sabi na, for the wages of sin is death. But listen, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Peace. Are we done? Peace. Peace what? No, between the hostility of our sin against God and God's wrath against us. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He came in between and paid for our sins. Right? Anong ibig sabihin ng to be justified? It's to be declared righteous. Not by your own works. Not by your own works. See, remember the story about Zacchaeus? So, Zacchaeus was this chief tax collector, talagang corrupt, ayaw sa kanya ng mga tao. And then, one day, Zacchaeus was on a tree, Jesus was passing by, and then tumigil ang Lord sa ilalim ng puno, tapos kinausap si Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, I must come at your house today." What does that mean? Now, what led to Zacchaeus, you know, coming down and saying na, half of my possessions I give to the poor. Right? And if I, kung may mga niloko ko, right, doble. Why? Because Zacchaeus actually realized at that moment that salvation is by grace alone. Why would we know that? No, sabi ng mga tao sa paligid, why is Jesus talking to Zacchaeus? Right? A bunch of morally self-righteous people. Tapos ang pinili ng Lord si Zacchaeus. And that melted the heart of Zacchaeus. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let me end with this. As we close this message, no, I really see no better way of, you know, to land this preaching. In Matthew chapter 1. Is there a radio playing? I'm hearing something. Matthew chapter 1. Let's look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Verse 1. The book of genealogy, of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Verse 2. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. As I read this, I want you to just kind of feel kung sino tong mga taong to. And Judah, the father of Perez, and Zerah by Tamar. And Perez, the father of Hezron, and Hezron, the father of Ram, and Ram, the father of Aminadab, and Aminadab, the father of Nashon. Probably you don't know these people, no? But, you know, stay with me, no? And Nashon, the father of Salmon. Oh, love that. And Salmon, I'm gonna go to Davao later. And Salmon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab. You know Rahab? And Boaz, the father of Obed, by Ruth. Can you see Ruth? And Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of the adulterer, David. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah.
And Solomon, as the father of Rehoboam, Solomon, the man who had a lot of wives, who turned away from the Lord. And Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, and Abijah, the father of Asaph, and Asaph, the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat, the father of Joram, and Joram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, notorious king, faithful, but he sinned a lot. And Uzziah, the father of Jotham, and Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Shucks. And Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Oh my, do you know these people? You know, and Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh, the father of Amos. And Amos, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. Verse 12, and after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. And Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud. And Abiud, the father of Eliakim. And Eliakim, the father of Azor. And Azor, the father of Zadok. And Zadok, the father of Akim. And Akim, the father of Eliud. And Eliud, the father of Eleazar. And Eleazar, the father of Mathan. And Mathan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, is called the Christ. I want you to look at the names of these people. I want to read from a commentary. Even more intriguing is the inclusion of four women, five counting his mother Mary. It was rare for women to be listed in Jewish genealogies. These aren't the women we might expect either. Instead of Sarah or Rebecca, we get Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and the wife of Uriah. Why? For starters, all four have some past connection to sexual immorality. Tamar seduced the father-in-law, and Rahab was a prostitute. Ruth was part of the Moabites, a people group with origin in incest. The child born to Uriah's wife was conceived as a result of an adulterous relationship with King David. But there's more. All four women had Gentile connections. Tamar and Rahab were not Jewish. Ruth was Moabite. Uriah's wife was married to a Hittite. Listen to this, and I'll end with this. So when the angel tells Joseph to name the baby Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins, this is undoubtedly a backward glance at Jesus' family tree. Let me explain. When the angel was telling Joseph, name your child Jesus because he will save people from their sins, it wasn't that they're looking at us in the future. It was also looking at the family line. Because all people there, they needed some redemption. And at the family line came Jesus, the one who would come to save people from their sins. That's why we have hope. We have hope because Jesus came to be friends with us, not just to be friends, to save us. He came to give us peace where there's no peace. So if you are here, maybe this is a call to admit that you need the Lord. Maybe it's a call not to be strong, but to be weak. Because in our weakness, God's strength is made perfect. Let's all stand. Let's just have a time with our Lord and Savior. Where you are standing. Never mind the person standing next to you. And as you're standing, let me just ask this question. Are you weak? Are you tired? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need change? Are you struggling with something? Yan, tagal-tagal na. If you're that person, Christmas is for you. Are you hopeless? Are you depressed? Are you struggling with lust? With envy? And you've been searching for hope in places where it cannot be found. Can be found here. So right now, no, in silence, you know, just talk to God and maybe admit that I need you. Struggling with emptiness, with a lack of purpose. You are in the right place. We sometimes look for purpose in busyness, in fireworks, in places where there's a spotlight, but can only be found in the manger. Sometimes the last place we would look for hope. Father, we come to you in humility. Lord, we admit that we are weak. We admit that just like the shepherds, we have nothing to bring to the table. There is really nothing in us, Lord, that would merit your favor. So we come, Lord, we come to you. Father, we ask for forgiveness for all our sins, for our failings. Right now, Lord, I pray that you would inject in us a fresh measure of hope, of grace, Lord. For those who need grace, Lord, I pray that you would pour out like a wave your grace, Lord, in their hearts right now, Lord. For those who are struggling with guilt, with shame, Father, I pray that you would erase this guilt and shame through your blood on the cross, Lord. Father, save us. And Father, right now, Lord, we thank you for sending your Son, Lord. Because in your Son, we have hope, Lord. We have peace. We have purpose. We have joy exceedingly, Lord.